When they are consuming your minds and your thoughts and your dreams, from the angels to the demons and to the mysteries unseen, there is no need to worry. There is no need for dread. It's just time to discuss the thing at the foot of the bed.
Good evening, and if you're just tuning in, you are listening to UFO Paranormal Radio Network and United Public Radio Network. We like to call it just UPRN, and this is The Thing at the Foot of the Bed, and you are listening on 105.3 and 107.7 out of the beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana. And folks, I'm going to let you know, I'm producing before I get into anything. The only place this is showing on Facebook is David's Good. And I'm going to let Dave introduce himself in a minute. My Facebook profile, Laura Lee Potvin, is good. But I don't even think we're going out because we are not even, wait, they might be kicking in. Let's hope so. There's a problem with StreamYard tonight. And usually we are not on UFO Paranormal Radio Network yet, our main page. Well, hopefully it will kick in. I hope so. So if you're listening, you may have to head over to YouTube, but I'll tell you all about that in a minute. This is The Thing at the Foot of the Bed. I am one of your hosts. I'm Laura Lee Potvin. I am a host of my own show here on Monday nights called The Angel Rock, and it's from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then I co-host with my amazing friend and very gifted medium and angel channel here. I am a Canadian psychic medium, just a Reiki energy healer, Akashic Records practitioner, spiritual teacher and mentor. I'm a registered nurse. I am also a budding animal communicator, well-versed in near-death experiences, having had one as a toddler and studied them professionally and personally for over 40 years, and extremely well-versed in the paranormal, having lived in a very haunted house. We've shared our story on Paranormal Survivor, Season 4, Episode 9. Okay. All the little housekeeping things here. Hang on. We got some people on Facebook. Let's hope Facebook kicks in for us, guys. Anyways, if you guys like what you see, please like, share, and subscribe. And I apologize if I seem a bit distracted. I'm watching this and trying to see where it's streaming out. Hopefully it's going out where it needs to go. What do I want to tell you guys? I want to tell you that if you like what you, like I said, you see, please like, share, and subscribe. This network's been around for 25 plus years, and we stream multiple shows daily live. And when we're not streaming live, the archive server randomly picks shows over the last 25 years to stream. And there's something really for everybody here on this network. We've got new hosts coming all the time, different types of topics and platforms, so be sure to check that out. Also, we have our own TV channel on Roku, and if you'd like to watch us on TV, what you do is go to the Roku channel store. You're going to search in there, and you're going to type in UFO Space P is in Paranormal. A drop-down list is going to come down. There's UFO Space Paranormal and United Public Radio. That is our channel. So please like, share, and let all your friends and family know. We'd love to have you here. We got lots of people here we're going to say hi to in just a minute. Now, if you want to join the conversation, because 80% of our global, yes, I said global, UPRN does broadcast in every country around the world. How you can join in the conversation, and we would love to have you, is there's a few places to head. Tonight that will change a little bit. So I know we're streaming on Canada's Most Haunted on Facebook and David's group, and he's got the Spirit Experience, and that is his group, and he's got a YouTube channel. We're streaming there. We are streaming to all of our YouTube channels. Well, I'm just streaming to the main one. It's UFO Paranormal Radio and United Public on YouTube. But I'm also streaming to The Angel Rock with Laura Lee Potvin. And it is streaming on my main profile, which is Laura Lee Potvin. And also, we are streaming to The Angel Rock on Instagram under The Angel Rock. And Instagram, if you're listening and tuning in, please forgive me. It doesn't integrate the chat into the main page here on StreamYard, so I'll try and swing back and forth to acknowledge you. But if I don't say hi, it's not because we're ignoring you, I promise. Now, the one thing I do want to remember to tell y'all, because this is coming up, and it's called the Lake Superior Paranormal Convention. So come hang out with us in Thunder Bay, Northwestern Ontario in Canada here, where I live actually, this October 4th to 6th, 2024, again, for the Lake Superior Paranormal Convention. Tickets are available now. VIP plus Supernatural and VIP pass tickets are limited. There will be talks, workshops, a paranormal investigation, and vendors. Guest speakers will include Shane Pittman, Jeff Belanger, our own Carrie Lynn Shellhorn from UPRN. She's the host of Spirit Switchboard on Fridays from 6 to 8 Eastern. Oh, we got that. We got backlog. Hopefully that, can you hear that, Dave? Does that sound like we got backlog there or not?
A little bit?
Okay.
Yeah, well, just how much.
We got weird stuff afoot. When do we not, guys, on Thursday nights? Back to this. Carrie Lynn, if you want to check her out, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on UPRN Spirit Switchboard. I love her. She is an incredible medium, paranormal investigator, and just an absolute sweetheart. She's also going to be giving messages from Spirit on that Sunday in October for a special Spirits and Sweets event, and I get to finally meet her in person. We're also going to be having the Travel Channel's Beyond the Haunting, Dee McCauley, who's local here. He's been on the Angel Rock before from Dark History, the Winnipeg Paranormal Group, and many more, including myself. I will be giving a talk too, so, and have a table there. I'm busy making pieces, so make sure to check it out. You can find tickets through Lucky Paranormal from in Thunder Bay, or you can go to the Lake Superior Paracon.com and get tickets. And Dave, sorry that took me so long. Go ahead. Sorry. Over to you.
Oh, that's okay. And I'll be at the Minnesota Con, and I'll be making tuna casserole at my booth. I'm kidding.
Thought you were really going. Are you really going?
Oh, I'm so kidding. No, I'm not. Hey, everybody. My name is David Hansel, spiritual medium. I am a spiritual medium and a channel. And I do a lot of the things that Laura Lee does, minus the crystal healing and stuff. But otherwise, we do about the same things. We know about the same things. We have different opinions, but that's it. That's, you know, everybody should. That's what we love about spirituality. You can think however in the hell you want to think. And that's just the way it goes. If you are watching from my group, and I couldn't see your name, I just typed down here. If you look above where you're seeing us, if you don't see the link, just hit see more, and then you'll see the link. Just hit that link, give permission, and we can see you. We are going out on my Facebook group, and we are also going out on my YouTube. I checked it. And you guys, listen, anybody who's listening out there, we have a Facebook group called The Thing at the Foot of the Bed with Laura Lee Potvin and David Hansel. So please feel free to join that group. You can share stories that you have. You can see some of the videos that we show here, because Laura Lee will post them in our group for you if we can. It's most likely we do. You do, don't you?
And, I do.
And that is about it for now in the cleanup.
Wait, I didn't get a chance to tell you this today. I put the poll up to vote on what people want to be called.
Okay, what do you guys want to be called? I'm just going to call you guys a bunch of thingies.
Well, that was okay, so there's room in the poll. I didn't even get a chance to tell you this. I'm so sorry. I've had a crazy day, and David's still settling with his move. Never mind everything else he does. So I pinned it. It's in the featured post. I did it today, earlier, and we had some good choices in there. So you guys, head over there and vote, because I hate, you know, like in my paranormal group, Paranormal University, I call them my para peeps. Angel Rocker Tribe, I call them my angels. So we want to have a name for all of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
More. Kevin Beginators
was in there. I'm sure you guys have called us many names. So we would like to call you a name in return.
I think I put the Kevin Baconators in there. And there was some pretty good, the Boo Collective, I think, or something. There was lots of good names. Names, the thingies, the footwalkers. There was all kinds of good names, though.
And if you are joining us live for the first time, if you're joining, real quick, if you guys joining us live for the first time, we would like to let you know that a lot of the times our shows are based on your questions and what you want to talk about. So we always have a topic. If we get to it, we get to it. If we don't, we don't. We are more than happy to talk about whatever you want to talk about. And if we have something to offer, we certainly will do it. Yeah, go ahead, Laura Lee. What did you say?
I don't know. Hang on. Well, happy Easter to anybody that celebrates. I have not turned into a Playboy bunny for any of those that you that know that. I'm wearing my Easter ears because it's Good Friday for those that celebrate tomorrow. So it's a holiday. But Diane Brighton says, hello, everyone. Contessa Martins, is there a chat tonight? You bet there is. And Cindy Simpson says, hello. Contessa says, hello. Kat, you're not going in there. Get out of there. Sorry. Kathy Hanley Little's waving. Howie Odell says, hang on. I have y'all. Oh, get off there, Kat. I have y'all shared out to my page and group. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate it. Need me to share y'all out to groups? Absolutely, Howie, if you want. The one that we need to be streaming on that we're not, and this is concerning me, is UFO Paranormal Radio and United Public, because I believe that's how it goes out over the server. But I, you know what? We'll leave it to the people that run the whole show here, Joe and Michelle. I'm sure they'll figure it out. And so please, absolutely, Howie, we'd really appreciate that. Got Shelley Noyes Anderson, greetings from Maine. And Howie is tipping his top hat and bowing. Jackie Lane says hi. And if you guys get a chance, check it out. I was on Broadcast Team Alpha with an incredible panel this past Tuesday. We were talking about angelic beings and other ethereal beings, as well as we talked some paranormal stuff. It was pretty interesting conversation and a great panel. So it's on YouTube and it's on Facebook. It's on Instagram under that. So check it out. So David, you had something weird happen.
Yes, you guys. So anybody who's listening right now, and you guys all know that, you know how I, y'all know how I am. Thank you, Howie. You all know who I am, but I live in a place called Kings Mountain, North Carolina. I have to go back and forth to my old house. And yesterday I was going to my mom's, and it was a little rainy out and everything. And I come through these little mountains here, and I take the expressway. And I was on the expressway, and I was behind a big black tractor trailer truck. I mean, it was dark black. The trailer was black. The front of the thing was black. It was all black. And I was behind it, and it was going kind of slow. So I decided I was going to go around to the left of it. And I couldn't really get past them. I didn't want to speed. But there were stoplights coming up. You know how highways sometimes have the stoplights. So we stop at the stoplight, and I go around to the left. I looked at him, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to, you know, go in front and move back over to my right lane. So it changed. I go to look back. I was looking in my rearview mirror and look around me, you know, to make sure there's nobody there. The black truck was gone, and it was now a big, huge white truck. And I was like, where did the black truck go? So I was just looking in a rearview mirror over and over, and I was going down a hill and then going back up. And as I went up, I looked in my mirror again, and I saw the white truck, but the black truck was behind it now. That white truck, there's no way, nowhere for that white truck to come on the dang expressway. So it really floored me, and I left Laura Lee a message. I'm like, it's not like a glitch in the matrix. I just don't know how that truck got there or what it was. I think I just kind of appeared out of nowhere. It was the strangest thing. Did I see a glitch? Well, I don't believe in the whole matrix glitch thing. I understand what it means and how people are referring to it. I just refer to it different. So I shouldn't really say I don't believe in it. I do believe there are things that are happening. I do believe that we switch timelines constantly as we're going through life. I mean, we're switching through them every couple seconds. We're switching through a timeline. The you are now is not the same you were a moment ago. You're a different you again. And that's always doing that. So in the confusion and the rain and the wanting to get around him, I might have just switched over to where I was in front of them. But I ended up being in front of a white truck instead. And I thought, I looked over and over. I was thinking, where could that white truck have come on? I would have saw it, or it would have had to come on after the black truck. So it was really a scratch in the record. I like that. Yes, it's it could be something like that. There's nothing that skipped. There's no birds that stopped in the middle of midair. None of that stuff. Just a weird thing that went on. And it was. I'd love stuff like that. I loved it.
I'm going to say hi to Nicole Thomas Ryan and Dawn Haddam. Sorry, guys. My cat decided, the little monkey, that she was going to have a fur ball. And I did not want you guys to hear that. And obviously, it needed to get cleaned up.
Oh. That would have been funny if he went to have a fur ball and then he changed into a dog. You're like, wait, another glitch.
Wait, another glitch.
No, I did have another glitch years ago. This was, I got to tell you about this. And see, I believe in these things.
Well, before you move on, let's read Cindy's comment because she said, wow, that's amazing. Maybe a ghost truck and a driver. But go ahead, share your other one, Dave. And share yours in the chat.
It wasn't a ghost truck. It was a real truck. It was a solid truck. They both followed me and both went their own separate ways when we got off the highway. I was traveling to the Kentucky Paracon. This was back in 2018. I think it might've been 18 or 19. I'm not sure. And I was driving by myself and, I was going down this road that was just a two-lane highway, and it was super, it was in the day, and it was just a beautiful day out, and there was a car in front of me that was going super slow, so I went to go around it, and as I went around it, I looked over, and the driver was this woman, and she had this long silvery gray hair. She's just an older lady, but she had long straight hair. And I just went by her and we kind of looked at each other and I just, you know, hello, smiled because I'm not rude. And I went ahead and I just drove and drove and drove. And all of a sudden it was maybe like a half hour later or so. And I left her far behind, you know, she was driving so slow. This is a two-lane highway. But a half hour later, there's another car in front of me. It's the same make of car, the same kind of car. And I thought, well, what a coincidence. And I went to go around it. It was the same freaking lady. How she got in front of me in a two-lane highway is beyond me. It freaked me out for the longest time. And that same, the next trip, me and Jessica went to, we're going to Indiana. To the Randolph Infirmary where we were doing investigation. And on the way there, we thought we were going to stop at where Mothman is, the bridge. And we went there and we thought when we went there, it was going to be another 4 hours to get to Indiana, whatever. We went to the Mothman Museum, everything started driving and we were in Indiana in about an hour and 15 minutes. And we're like, wait, it says that it's over 4 hours away. How did we get there in an hour and 15 minutes? So we both looked, we were both in the same car. And I'm like, do you remember, did we stop or speed up or something? And we're like, I don't know. I don't know what happened. And
well,
it's like,
Don says I lost more time than glitches. But what I was going to add, I have one strange story to add to this.
Well, you have a lot of UFO ones where you lost time and came back.
I do have lost time. Contessa says, oh, OMG, I just watched Mothman yesterday. But okay, so what happened? And I don't talk about the story that often. So I've always loved the poem Footprints in the Sand, even since a mm-hmm. little girl. It's a beautiful poem, especially if you're going through a tough time. And I was sitting in the basement, my previous home where all the activity was, and I had a lot of my old craft stuff. And when my partner had moved in, I just took everything out of that one bedroom and kind of piled it in a bunch of stuff and had it in a corner in the basement, right? We turned it into a bedroom. It used to be my craft room. And I'm sitting there one day and I'm kind of feeling sorry for myself. I just found out the house was full of black mold. I couldn't get anybody at this time to help. As my screen lights up, I can't get anybody to help out with the paranormal stuff. Like it just was a really tough time and I don't usually get down, but I was kind of feeling that way. I swear to God, I was sitting there and something made me stand up and I went over, there was a bunch of bins. And like I said, it was full of craft stuff. And if you see the craft stuff I've had, you would understand why this is crazy. I just opened one lid. And on top of there is a coin sitting on top of all of this craft stuff. Okay. I pick it up
it's got the poem to Footprints in the Sand. And I'm going, where the heck did this come from? But it gets better. So I'm sitting there and I'm really pondering this, going, wow, I did not buy this. I don't know how it got there. Of all things that could have opened, why is it sitting on top? So I thought, I'm going to stick it on the water heater, right? It was right next to my partner, the Dell, his workbench. And I thought, it'll remind me to tell Dell about what happened. We also had a security camera in there, but security camera, nothing recorded. You could just see it on monitors in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. So a couple of days go past, I forget to tell him. And I'm coming out of, it was kind of like an office, craft room, laundry room, workbench. It was sort of more of an open part of the basement. And as I'm in the doorway, I'm bending down to pet our dog, who's has since passed, Shiloh, our German Shepherd. As I'm bending down, Dell is coming out of our bedroom. Our bedroom was in the basement. I bend down and I feel whoosh right through my hair, like literally through my hair. I'm getting goosebumps as I'm telling you guys this story. And Dell goes, what the H-E-L-L was that? I go, I don't know. And he picks it up. It was the coin off of the water heater. Had I not bent down to hit the dog, I don't know if it would have, or hit the dog. Why did I say hit? Well, I would have petting the dog, it would have hit. I never hit my dog. Okay.
Disclaimer. Disclaimer to all you listening.
I've never hit anybody. I'm not a violent. I haven't even hit my children. I've hit nobody. I'm not a hitter. But it would have hit Dell. That's what I had in the brain there. And the thing is, it landed right through my hair, didn't hit me in the ear, and landed right between the two of us. And he witnessed it too. So first of all, where did the coin come from? Why out of all things do I go over and open this bin? And I have no idea why I'm doing it. I just am telling you the state of mind I'm in. I'm really focused on other things. It was absent-minded. And then on top of it, I'd forgotten that I'd stuck it. Like, this coin flew about 20 feet. Like, and nobody was in there. Like I said, I was coming out of the doorway and Dell was coming into out of our bedroom. No idea where it was. Was it a glitch? Was it? I don't know.
It could, you know, it could have been anything. And if anybody's out there going, how come all that cool stuff only happens to mediums and spiritual people? Listen, this is, I know it seems like it always happens to us, but you have to look at it this way. We're pretty much trained in awareness. So we're aware of everything all the time. So we don't miss a beat when something happens, because I'm sure most of you have probably had a lot of things happen to you and you just missed them. That's why I tell people, they go, I never get signs from my loved ones. I'm like, you probably do, but you just miss
them.
Don't
pay attention.
Yeah, it's just all about awareness, you guys. If you can be super aware of life, and then when you have it in your head that there's more than what we can see, and you know that, you'll start to get those experiences.
Well, plus they send you signs in different ways. Hi, Kasun. No, they send you signs in different ways. Like, you and I both know if something mm-hmm. shows up in our field of vision, if I call it that, life in general, say two times with very little bit of time in between, or even three times, we know, hey, there's the message with this, or there's something behind this. Or what people don't pay attention to, and they say they don't get signs from their loved ones. And I use this example all the time. I've said it on the Angel Rock. Say, and there have been people that have done that. You may have had a loved one that's terminally ill, and they'll say, I'm going to send you a message from the other side to let you know I'm okay. And say they said, I'm going to send you a butterfly. Or even a cardinal. I know one story, it was a cardinal. It actually ended up being this bird. But where I'm going with this is, a butterfly doesn't mean a physical butterfly. Maybe a song keeps coming on, and different songs with lyrics to a butterfly. Or maybe you keep seeing billboards with butterflies. Or you know what I'm saying? Like, right, Dave? Like, it doesn't always just show up that you're going to see a yellow butterfly.
That's another story. Just so you guys hear some of our weird stories. I was having a particularly bad day a few years ago in the morning, and I had to go to work my day job, and I just freaking hated that place. And anyway, I felt like no one was listening to me, and I had asked my guides, I'm like, can you guys send me something today? Send me a butterfly or something, just so I know you're there and make me feel happy. And that's it. And I left it go. It was like late fall, so there was like no butterflies outside. And I thought, if I see a butterfly outside, that is unmistakably cool. But anyway, I went through my entire day. I was so aware. I even tried to look. I did not see a butterfly anywhere, and I was getting really upset. And then I, at about 10 o'clock, I got home that night, and I got out of my car, and I walked up, and I grabbed the mail, and I walked in the house, and I looked at the mail. In the mail, all had all the mail, and they were butterfly stamps.
And so
I was like, dudes, why? I had the worst day. You waited till the last, but you know what I chalked it up to? I probably had something I had to learn or figure out or do that day. So that was just the right timing.
You think maybe you were trying too hard too, because you were looking so hard for it that eventually when you kind of gave up, it showed up.
Yeah, that's, I think so too. Cause sometimes I, you know, that's a good point, because a lot of people are saying now, and I totally agree with it, when you want something, what happens is we will imagine it, but then we'll start imagining the plan to get it, and we'll try to figure out the details. Your human mind doesn't know how to do that. Your human mind only knows how to perceive something. Your higher self knows how to conceive. So you just have to get it, and you just have to follow the breadcrumbs, right, Laura Lee? You just got to, you know, you say, I want this.
I'm going to show you guys an actual sign that I got, and I take this from my guides, that I'm on the right track, and my angels. I don't force it, but I am open for it. Do you see that perfect heart right there in the center of the screen? Yes. My sign from angels and my guides is a heart. So let me know, hey, I got you. I'm here for you. You're on the right track. Do you know what that is? I got donuts yesterday from Tim Hortons. Now, a lot of you may not know what Tim Hortons is. It's Canadian, like kind of like Seattle Coffee, but it's Canadian, but it is going into the US. And it was an apple fritter, I think I pulled out, and treated myself to one. And I looked down about an hour later, that is on my stove. You can see the stove ring. I looked down, that was almost microscopic, like I cropped it. Look at how perfect that heart is. And I have so many pictures, like crazy heart pictures, that there's no way. Like, what are the chances of the glazed icing falling off a piece of it? Perfect heart.
And not melting.
With that?
And not melting.
I am telling you, and I have opened a box of chicken nuggets, and I have a picture of a perfect heart or a piece of paper. Now, people can say it's coincidence or I'm twisting it or whatever, but I know from my, don't know, you're not having a fur ball on the bed, down on the floor there. Why? Why on rugs and why on furniture? My cat
what
is
if he, definitely. What if his fur ball was in the shape of a heart, though?
That's what started this, not fur balls. But my puppy, who's no longer with us, Miley, your mommy had a Miley and I had a Miley. Yeah. Miley, by the way, my Miley, looked identical to a dog I had as a teenager named Tiffany or Tiffy. And we used to call, I'm sorry, Tiffy, but you were demon spawn. She was evil. Miley was the absolute antithesis to Tiffy. Like, I'm not kidding, down to the hair color, the fur, the legs, everything identical. But Miley was sweet as sweet could be. Absolute opposite. I have a picture. While we start talking, I'll pull it up if you guys don't believe me. It was in my old house, and we were potty training her as a puppy. And she left me a pee-pee stain in the perfect shape of a heart. And I've shown this to people, and people insist there's no way. This was a little potty accident. And I started to notice this when I started taking my angel certified angel card reading course years ago. And then all of a sudden I started noticing different hearts all over. And as I connected with spirit, I said, okay, how about every time I see a random weird heart? Okay. I don't take every heart that I see is from spirit, but one that would never show up. And like, that was donut glaze I just showed you guys.
You know, my mom, speaking of Miley, and I'm going to add something in about pets that might be really interesting for you guys. I want to ask Laura Lee about it. I haven't asked Laura Lee yet. Anyway, my mom had a dog, Miley, and Miley passed away back in February. Mm-hmm. And my mom was very heartbroken. And She bought that dog when my older brother passed away, about a month after that. So she just loved that dog, and that dog was with her, and she died of liver cancer early, only after 6 years. But long story longer, she bought another dog. So the dog was just born a couple weeks back. And when the dog was 4 days old, we went over to the house for these breeders, and my mom put money on the down payment, you know, and to pick out her dog. And this lady takes care of the dogs until they're, you know, weaned from their mom. And she looks at all the puppies and she's like, I don't know which one. And she pointed to one and she goes, oh, that one right there, that one with the white paws. And we turn her over. She had a perfect black heart on her back. My mom goes, oh my God, do you think that's for Miley? And I said, if that's what you feel, it surely is. And that's what I'll tell anybody. If you get a sign that makes you feel good and it makes you happy, I don't care what people say, that's for you. Now, to get to this, and this is my subject we might want to talk about for a minute. You know, okay, we all know of orbs, okay? We all know orbs. There's like a billion orbs everywhere. Lemon Pledge has been debunking orbs for 20 years now. But, I mean, there are orbs. That is a real thing. It's just not everything's an orb. Now, did you guys ever hear of rods? You know what the rods are? Okay. I had heard something, and I started to do a little investigating. I had heard I knew it in the back of my mind kind of, but rods, like orbs are would be beings like humans or something. It could be, okay. Or angels or something. Rods are the essence of animals, earth animals. So that's how the earth animals, they're not coming in as orbs. They are coming in as the rods. And I thought when I was delving into that, I started watching a bunch of videos on rods, and it did seem the rods were very playful. The rods were always around children, and they were always in like above cribs. And I looked at an old video that somebody had sent me to ask if I knew what it was, and I said I wasn't sure. And they were rods that were going around the baby's bed, because she said, do you feel anything terrible about it? I'm like, no, not at all. I don't feel one terrible thing about it. I said, it seems playful and quite loving. And I wonder if there's some truth behind it. Now everybody goes, why don't you just ask your guides? I'm like, well, because they're not going to tell me everything. And they're going to always tell me the same thing. What is your perception, Dave? I'm like, oh, shut up. But that's pretty much how that goes. But what do you think about the rod phenomenon?
That's not what I had heard before, but I kind of like it because there was somebody Carrie Lynn had on that was kind of an expert on orbs. And he was talking about what he thought rods were with, you know, photography and what have you. But I kind of like that. See, now for me though, orbs is kind of a sore spot I can usually tell where somebody is in their paranormal journey. And you can too. About exactly. What they think about orbs. But I like that. That feels good.
It's just cute. Yeah, that's what I thought too. Do I know if it's true? I do not know. I do know that orbs can be, I've had actual orbs that will show up when I'm doing like angel readings or when I'm doing readings and stuff. They will show up, and I have to tell people too. I've done like live readings, like in groups and stuff, and they said, oh, look at all the orbs. I'm like, those aren't orbs. The sun's shining and my cats were here. Those are all, that's just all dust.
But there are orbs. Just
there are orbs. Yeah. I always tell people orbs give off their own light. So a real orb, you could walk into an abandoned house and you would see the orb. You'd be able to see it without your camera. It gives off its own light. And if you look at them really closely, a lot of people say, well, you see faces in them. I guess you could, but I always, with orbs, I don't ever look for faces, because when I have tried to do that, I always had to discount it as pareidolia with the faces in the orbs.
You might have to tell some people what pareidolia is.
Pareidolia is when people see, I got a piece of toast and there is a picture of Jesus on it. Or, you know, it's human beings, the way we are situated, we will always try to make sense of something when we look at it, and we'll see faces and stuff. Just like when you do cloud watching,
I'm going to send Web Pareidolia right now while we're talking. Okay, go ahead.
You what? Oh, I'm no, that's okay.
Put up a Pareidolia while we're talking.
Put up a Pareidolia.
But I don't think it is. I'm going to tell you why, but go ahead while I pull it up here.
Oh, that's okay. But yeah, that's pretty much what Pareidolia is. It's us seeing faces and stuff. Yeah, like the flame.
Okay, so this is the, oh, sorry, I closed it by accident. This is the coin, by the way, that I told the story about that I found randomly. Okay, but this is the one I want to show. Hang on. Okay, now I don't think this is Pareidolia, and I'll tell you the story why, but this is why it could be referred to as Pareidolia, and it may be hard to see. Now, I'm talking about this outline on the left-hand side of the screen, kind of looks like a face, right? This is what we're talking about, Pareidolia, and I already uploaded this before you said this. The reason why I shared this picture, okay, and I'll upload, I'll make it bigger. Well, it might be harder to see. We were at a annual bonfire. One of my partner Dell's friends has an annual Christmas tree burning party. And they, Dell and his buddy who had the party, and there were two other guys, used to call themselves the Florida Four. They hung out since ninth grade in high school, and they would travel all across North America going to concerts. One of them passed away. So somebody had thrown one of their dried out Christmas trees on the fire for the bonfire, and it was huge, and they wanted me to take pictures. So I started taking pictures as they were toasting. Jason was his name. This is what showed up in the picture. So is it Pareidolia? I don't know. I had some weird things go on that night spiritually, and nothing spooky, just really interesting things.
The spirit wants you to notice something. A spirit is going to have you notice something. And to everybody else, it might be Pareidolia, but if you got the itch to look at something and catch that, then there's some kind of connection going on, I believe.
That's why I took it, but I'm going to show you guys too. I said I would show you how the heart thing all started. Okay. No, I
real quickly with the flame, I do some readings for these sisters in Mauritius. And their relatives come through all the time. They're so cool. But anyway, she had showed me a bonfire she went to at one of their local synagogue, like whatever they call their churches there. And in the fire, you can literally see Shiva within the fire. And I thought, because a lot of people said that's Pareidolia, and I said, okay, I get it if somebody just said they seen a face in there, but literally it looked like Shiva.
I differ with Pareidolia. Like some people are seeing, like Kasun thought it looks like a demon in the 9/11 fires. They said, I see a dragon. So that's why I said this could be a very good example of Pareidolia, except I do have other pictures of the fire. Nothing else showed up. This happened, and I remember I was there. It showed up right when everybody was toasting Jason, and I was taking pictures because they asked me to, because the flames were so huge, and it was just kind of cool. That is the pee-pee potty spot that Miss Miley left me as a little puppy on the rug.
That's a perfect pee-pee heart.
Won't believe me. A lot of people say there's no way a dog did that. And she was just a little tiny peanut of a thing. She did. So that's what started the heart thing for me. I grabbed a couple other pictures while we were talking. But so when this started, and it was such an incredible heart, something made me think to take the picture. And as time went on, and I have a whole album, I haven't put all the pictures. They were in my old phone all in one album. And then when I transferred everything over, they all went back into the thousands of pictures in my file. So I need to go through it. But I am telling you, I have got the most incredible hearts. And like I said, icing off of a donut, glaze icing. And I happened to see it. I went, holy crap, that's a perfect heart. Take it a picture. And I said, thank you.
Oh, I know. I love that. Hi, Shannon KKC. Hello from Sean and I. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Shannon. And we got Julie Jean Bassett. Hello, Laurie, Dave, and everyone. And she, Kasun says, that Shiva is the coolest god around, but I wanted to share Nicole's point she made a little earlier. She said, last week I asked for the sign of hearing. Exactly. And then she said, multiple people said things to me and I caught myself saying exactly as an answer, LOL. So are you saying, Nicole, you kept hearing it from different people, what you were asking, like, or was it like everybody kept saying the same thing? Or did I read that wrong, Dave? You know how sometimes I...
No, that's what I'm trying to... Last week, I asked for the sign of hearing exactly. Okay, multiple people said things to me, and I caught myself saying exactly as an answer.
Yeah, I know you'll explain that a little bit more.
Yeah. But... not that... rewrite that again, because I'm not quite getting it. I like Kassan's... Kassan said, Shiva is the coolest god around.
Yeah. Yeah,
I loved, you know how I learned, Kassan, you know how I learned about all those deities over there? By doing readings, they were showing up and I was describing things I knew nothing about. And they're like, do you know who that is? And I'm like, no, who are you talking about? And that's how I learned about a lot of them. So it was really cool.
So Contessa said, my sister and I saw green orbs in my mom's room days before my mom passed away. She died at home. Could that have been spirits? I'm going to ask you, what did you think?
Yeah. That's the first thing. That's the first thing you got. I'll tell you, anybody, Laura Lee will too. Mm-hmm. If you have a sign that is meaningful for you, whether anybody else believes it or not, if you believe it and you feel good about it and it made you smile and it gave you peace, then yes. Mm-hmm. Don't listen. You don't even need to ask anybody if it was a sign. If it was a sign, it was, my mom does it all the time. She'll, my little brother was drunk one night and he took, well, one night, every night. But anyway, one night when he was drunk, that sounds better. He took my older brother's urn off the counter and went outside with it and was being weird. And there, my mom's screaming at him, bring that back in here. And their lights started flashing in the lamps. And he brought it in and they stopped flashing and they have never flashed since. And it wasn't the bulb. So my mom said, do you think that was Kevin? And I said, sure. I said, that's something Kevin would do. Cause if Kevin, Mark would be drunk and do something, Kevin would yell at him. And that was his way of, you know, showing us that.
Not yes, that he's actually. And I think you made such an important point, Dave. You guys, you don't need to ask somebody that's a medium or a psychic for an answer. Like Dave said, and I agree 100%, you were there, you experienced it, or like you said, Contessa, you and your sister did. And if you felt that that's what it was, we all have intuitive abilities. Trust it. I love what Dave said. If it gave you peace and you felt like it was spirits around, yeah, then it was. Who are we to tell you yes or no?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's none of our business. Unless you're doing an investigation and something happens, we might have a little argument. But if it does something, if it makes you feel good, and it, like we said, if it brings you peace, you don't need to ask a medium.
Mm-hmm. And because Don said, "Oh, sorry, go ahead, Dave."
No, that's all. That's all.
Oh, Don said, "My Rottweiler has a heart on his butt. LOL. I call it his Care Bear butt. I love it."
Kathy Hanley Little said, Archangel Raphael color is green. And yes, yes, that is the symbol that I use for Raphael as well, is green, green lights. So if somebody was passing away, I don't see why Raphael or the essence of that angelic being would be there. I would say that most likely, yeah. And and we all, and it's been proven too that they call it, what's the death thing, the death stare, people in hospice, there's everybody does it. There's a point where they will extend their arms and look out exactly as if they're trying to reach for someone.
Not everybody does it, I'll tell you that.
No, they didn't say everybody, but they said a lot of people do it.
No, what they will, a lot of people will do is usually by the end, if you're terminally ill, you'll go into a coma. And I'm writing about, I've been talking about it more and more. So, and Julie, you were the one that said that really resonated with you. I'm collecting stories from people that are death doulas, which is a terrible name, nurses and first responders, of the incredible, miraculous things that we witness at the bedside.
as somebody transitions from here, as I call it, going back home. So I have part of the book that I'm putting in there. I have an outline for it, and you'll hear other nurses refer to it by different names. I call it the gift. And what it is, and it doesn't happen with everybody, but the person, and we know physically looking at the body that it's not going to be long. It's probably going to be 24 to 48 hours. But that person who's completely comatose wakes up and they're perfectly lucid, back to their personality, exactly like who they were before they became ill. Sometimes you get a minute. Sometimes you get a couple of hours. I've had one patient, it's always stuck with me. And this family was very deeply religious in Catholicism. And their loved one had the gift, but it lasted 8 hours. And they were so convinced that God had given a miracle and their loved one was healed. So it was a very difficult conversation that needed a lot of sensitivity and a lot of love to let them know that this indeed was a gift, to say the things maybe that weren't said that were unfinished.
Yeah, I've heard.
But where I was going to, sometimes too, there will be moments of lucidity or wakefulness where a loved one will say, oh, I see my mom or my dog that, you know, my pet that's no longer here. Can you see them or can you see the angel? Or, and I'm going to tell you, Dave, I've been at lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of deaths working in palliative care. I've had very few people that are reaching like this.
Oh, there's a lady. She's actually got a channel on TikTok. She's a hospice nurse. It's in her book about, it's not everyone, but they actually reach out a lot of times. And it's usually, and the gift one is cool though. I've heard that some people have like Alzheimer's or something. And some people, for some reason, all of a sudden they're fine for a moment and then they're gone again.
Well, I call it a gift, and I forget, Nurse Hadley is one of them that I watch, and I forget the other girl. She's really good. She's got blonde hair, and I love that they do these channels because, especially Nurse Hadley, she's written a book about it. Maybe this is who we're talking about, really sweet girl with a Southern accent. She does in-home care like what I did a lot, and it's nice that the other nurse is a little bit more technical. She works in the palliative care wing. And what I love about both these nurses is they answer the questions that family members want to know the answer to, whether they've seen something strange or unusual, or maybe somebody reaching out with their arms out or something physical. And these nurses can answer it for them. And I think it's a beautiful thing because death is a taboo subject to talk about. Right, with most cultures it is.
And it's crazy. Not all cultures, but some cultures it is. Back up to Nicole Thomas Ryan. She explained her.
And then we'll answer these questions here.
And then we'll answer the questions. Yeah. I asked to hear the word exactly. Instead, multiple people I encountered asked me questions throughout the day, and I caught myself answering the questions they asked me with exactly. So instead of other people saying exactly to me, I get it now.
That's cool.
I like that.
That's cool. So Diane says green is from the heart chakra.
Yep, there is the green but heart
pink,
chakra.
Pink can also be associated with the heart chakra too. Green is more
which now that you said, I'm glad you said that with the color word pink, because there was somebody had filmed this woman, I believe she was like 99 or something like that. She was just almost, it's like she was in the hospice. She was just there. And she kept asking everybody if they could see the little pink girl in the corner. Aww. And they're like going, oh, they made it seem like she was seeing an alien and stuff. And I'm like, no, that's not what it was. But yeah, she was saying she's seen the pink. I wish I would have been there with her. I would have said, I see the pink little girl too. I know exactly who that
is. That's usually what we tell people. Yeah. That like, you're not going to say, that's not there. You're hallucinating. No, but I've never said that. I've talked with patients. That's why I loved working out in the community. I always say, I almost quit nursing till I worked out in the community because I got to actually
I got to be exactly the reason why I wanted to be a nurse, was to be with people and spend the time that I needed. So I've never done, like I said, anybody that would say that, and I'm not judging family members or anything, it's a different scenario, but as a healthcare professional, you're there to support and advocate and bring peace in any way, or, you know, hopefully make things painless for your patient. So that would just be confrontational. So I would hope nobody would do that. So Julie said, the shamans also call that sacred drama. Interesting. There was something else I saw up here. I wanted to highlight. Hang on. I'm just going to go up. My computer is not cooperating. Hang on. Maybe I missed it. There was something. Oh, wait, no, it was here. Right. It was after Kasun. So Kasun, hang on. We're going to get to your question. Dawn said, I have looked after a patient 99 years old for 3 days before she died. She repeated over and over, shall I go left? Shall I go right? Shall I go up or shall I go down?
That's cute. Was she smiling with it? Because that sounds like...
Maybe she saw the possibilities before her.
Who knows? I was going to say, that's kind of cool. I would... It sounds morbid, but sometimes I would love to hear a lot of deathbed stories, because some of them are just really amazing and absolutely beautiful. And I think that if some people heard it, they wouldn't feel so... terrible. I mean, we're taught that it's such a bad thing. And yes, when we lose people early, that is a bad thing. But when people naturally go from something, it's like you just got to let them have that.
Well, it was one of the toughest things to do. Working in the community taught me so many things, but it's really hard, because usually, you know, I used to run an area, so you would admit a patient who was still healthy and maybe they were just starting chemo or whatever it may be, and you're going along that journey and you would see their health decline and going through the stages of trying to deal with it and then support the family as well, right? And these people were people who chose to pass at home, so instead of going into hospice or somewhere. So, and death is such a taboo subject, but you know what? We don't ever really die. That's the thing. Forever.
I know it's hard to explain to people. And from somebody who had a near-death experience that I clearly remember, if I can tell you anything, don't be afraid.
But you know what is scary, right? And it's human nature, is it's the fear of the unknown. Because I have yet to meet someone or read about someone who has had a near-death experience, and not one of them is afraid to die after that experience. Would you agree, Dave?
If what now?
Not afraid to die after having a near-death experience.
Oh yeah. I don't know one person. I don't know if you do.
There's not
one person that went through an NDE who right now says, oh, whatever, whenever it happens,
I'm
good.
It's terrified to die. It's because they've already done it and seen how to, there's a clip from Tuesday night's panel I was on. Augie, I guess, clipped it. I was talking about this book I'm writing, and I said it's like talking about the fear of death and the fact that with an NDE, it gives you a peek through the window into what to expect when you leave this physical body.
Yeah, in a sense, yeah. And I'm sure when I leave finally, it's going to be different than what it was for that, you know. But it was cool. Freaking cool, you guys. So don't be afraid, you know, to come back.
No pain.
Yeah.
So Kasun says, do you guys think everyone has their time to go, as if they can try to go or they can't? A set time, maybe, Dave? I think that's what he's asking.
It's a lot of people used to say, well, okay, there's different things. So you guys are going to have to go with what you feel. Okay. That's just how this has got to go. There are people who say we have 5 exit points. People who say we have 7 exit points. People who say we have exit points. Exit points, I believe, are very true. There are times during
your lifetime, if you've gotten everything in that short period of time, yeah, you'll probably end up going. And everybody else will think it's sad and everything, but to you, you'll be like, yeah, that's exactly the amount of time I wanted to be there. You know? So I do believe in that. How many there are, I do not know. Probably a lot. I've been through many of them. And I'm sure Laura Lee has too. And I mean, we've gone through a lot.
Oh, wait, can you finish and I'll share what I think.
But I do think that you just leave when you leave. I think that we shouldn't spend our life thinking about when we're going to leave. I think we should spend our life in the moments we're in, because that moment's never going to go away. These moments, even when you die to our perception, it's not, you're not different. You are still very aware of who you are and always will be and always have been. It's just right now, you just kind of forgot, you know, and that's all that is. Some people do leave. Some people say 5, some people have 7. I don't have any concrete anything that tells me anything different. I just go with whatever people need.
Okay, so what I think, because we have free will, and I have said this, is before you were born, you know the day you're going to be born, and you know the day planning for you to leave.
Yep.
But you have free will. So maybe, and I believe it's more spiritual than you with the monkey mind, and I hate that term, but our brains that we think run the show. Yeah. That can have a little bit to do with it, but I believe you may have some exit points built in, as Dave said. Maybe you've picked a particularly difficult life in this particular lifetime, that, and then we can get into things like walk-ins and stuff like that. So you have control to some respect, but I don't mean with the brain that's running the show. Okay, but I have seen people who have willed themselves to leave the planet.
There are, we've talked about that before.
That have willed themselves, but we will never know until we go back home, was that the planned exit point all along? Okay, so I don't think there's a set amount of time or a set amount of 5 or 7. I don't think there can be because we're all unique. And we're all here for different reasons. So is there a planned exit point? More than likely. Yeah. But I have seen people like Anita Morjani. She died at the hospital. She was had terminal cancer. Her body was riddled with tumors. That lady is alive and well today and was told that she hadn't finished her mission and she had to go back. Technically, she should not have been here. So this is one of those questions where I don't know if we could give you a really concrete answer.
Yeah, it's difficult too.
I don't think we're ever going to know all the answers, but I do believe we have a set exit point, but I also believe with free will, really wanted to stay.
We are not the ones who chooses it. Your soul chooses it. Your soul knows. And that brings me to this too. It's even like we have my mom's uncle. This is years and years and years ago. He woke up one morning and him and his wife had been married for 20 years. And he sat down and ate breakfast and he looked at her and he goes, "Hey, I went and I signed over some stuff for his will and stuff." Cause he said, "Honey, I think I'm going to die today." And she goes, "Oh, whatever, you are not." Anyway, he went to work and he was one of those poll workers who worked in this is back when they were first putting up telephone poles and stuff, and he fell off and he died that day. So he had an inkling. My best friend Paul, my best friend Paul one night told me, he said, "David, I just can't do any of this anymore." And I said, "Paul, don't do anything stupid." He goes, "No, I don't mean that." He said, "I think I'm just done with everything. I'm really done." He went to a party. I didn't go that morning. He had a heart attack in his car on the way home from the party, flipped over and hit a bus. So I think, and by the way, he died from the heart attack. He didn't have to go through that.
No, but the thing is, this is one of those questions where I don't think any of us are going to know all the answers until we go back home. We're going to leave though. And if we all knew, like I can tell you, most people have had an NDE and they don't want to leave. They really don't want to leave when they're home because
they're peaceful. I mean, the people I've talked to, the stories and accounts I've read and gone through over the years. Now, I'm not saying every single person doesn't want to leave. I'm just saying a lot of people don't want to leave, even if there's been a lot of women just had a brand new baby. They need a mama at home and they, you know, they're told, you know, your mission isn't quite finished here. Your child needs you there to grow up, what have. So they will go back and then they share their story or whatever it may be. But a lot of people think this is our only lifetime, right? And this is all we've got. There's nothing afterwards. And boy, oh boy, I can tell you there's a lot of NDEers that have come back and said, wow, was I wrong?
I was going to say, I was reading a comment of the, oh, Mish says, aren't we our soul?
Can you just do this one here that I highlighted and then we can go through?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't even see that.
We've got quite a few good comments actually below this that you may want to look at too. So okay. Kathy Hanley Little says, I have a longtime friend that is dying. He's been going through a lot of issues for 9 months now. Could the group please pray for him not to suffer anymore and please go into the light? Now, the problem is with that, we could pray for him not to be having any more suffering or not to have any more pain, love. And I know that this comes from a place of love, Kathy, and your concern for him. But again, this is between him and his creator. That's what I wanted to say quickly, Dave. I knew there was a reason why. I have a friend, for example, who had an uncle that was very much like a dad to her. He was on a ventilator. I had a bad spinal injury. He was very ill, and they took him off the ventilator, and he wasn't gone. And my friend messaged me and said, what is going on here? I thought like when they pulled the plug, is the word she had used, is what we see on TV, that was it. And I said, my answer to her was, no, that's between your uncle and what his belief is, God, source, the creator, the universe. And, you know, a lot of time I have found when people don't leave because he was still able to breathe and hadn't left, they're waiting for someone. Maybe they're waiting for a family member to come or whomever it may be. Right. But there's many reasons why people don't leave right away. So with your friend, it definitely would send healing, much love, prayers for some peace and to be free of the pain. But again, we can't ask for somebody to leave. Does that make sense? I don't know. Am I wrong about that, Dave? Like, he's going to go.
For me, I will never pray for someone to go into the light. I will never pray for any of that because I don't know what their business is. But I will send as many healing wishes as I can to that soul. And if he accepts them,
I see where Kathy is coming from. And I didn't want to single you out, love, because you're coming from a place of love and you just don't want him to have to suffer anymore.
No, I think to send prayers and well wishes to someone in that position is absolutely a beautiful, wonderful thing to do. And we should be doing it. I'm just declaring, I'm saying, I don't ever pray like to send somebody into the light. I'll send off as many good vibes as I can so you can be comfortable while you decide to do whatever it is you want to do when you're ready to do it. So I'm sending him as much healing as I possibly can, and hopefully he'll accept it.
I just want to reiterate, Kathy, I didn't want to point you out, but I think it was a good thing that you had asked. And I know that you're coming from a place of love and how hard it's been from just hearing what you've written here and what a loving, caring person you are. So again, we don't know all the answers, but I think you'll get what we're saying here.
Kathy, you know what I did for my brother and for my grandmother and everything? I mean, I got a little out of my box and my grandmother. It's a funny story. I won't tell it now, but it has to do with she was in pain and I was just going, please, God, take her out of pain. She ended up dying the next day. And I was young. I said, I did not say take her out. I said, take away the pain. You know, so I was upset by it as a kid. But I do. And just like as we were talking and I'm sending that person, I'm telling them there's so many people that love you. So just so you know. And that's what I know that person will hear those in some way, shape, or form.
I have asked, and I want to share this now that I think about it, this summer, It was a very strange story, and it's too long to get into. But a little kitty was
hit going. By a car. Keep going. Keep going.
A little kitty was hit by a car, and nobody knew what to do. This poor girl that hit this poor kitty. Oh, she was such a mess, and I felt so bad for her. And it was the owner was in Utah, of all places. Long story short, this baby was in so much pain, and I was crying and sending it healing. And I did ask, I said, angels, please come and take this poor baby out of pain. There was no way this little kitty could have survived. So I said, please, if this is the will of God, or because my belief system is God, please take him quickly and out of pain. Because there was no way this poor little baby could have survived that. So I wanted to add that I have prayed that before myself. So just so you know, because like I said, I don't want to ever single somebody out. Dawn had added, when my daughter was younger, she used to ask me about the other little girl that played with her. She was describing her twin sister that is in spirit. Interesting. And then she said she was so happy to be released from her trapped, twisted body. Okay.
I remember when I was when I got sick and I was so sick and I finally passed out, wherever I went, I was so happy. But see, I want you to know this though. I just want to add to this. And it's not the same because everybody's different. Everybody perceived me as going through a lot of pain when I was in the hospital. And I can tell you this, I didn't feel anything.
But your physical body might have, right? Like, do you think that, Dave? Like, maybe your physical body did, but where you were fully aware, whole, and healthy? Or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I mean. My physical body was showing the signs of pain and everything, but I wasn't there. I wasn't having to feel it. So I think this sounds mean and cruel, but it's not. Sometimes I think people have to see that in order to learn something or know something, or who knows why. Maybe that's why they have to learn compassion, maybe, or maybe they have to learn that. But he's probably more better off than you think he is right now. But I think it's beautiful that we send him love, because you know what? Love takes away pain. It really does.
Mm-hmm. And Kasun wrote, dying is like loosening up a tight shoe.
That's
interesting. And Julie Jean Bassett wrote, in my shaman training program, we did little death where we had a fake death so we could experience the soul leaving the body. Mm-hmm. Wow. You have to be in deep, deep meditation to do that one. But I guess if people can control having out-of-body experiences and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Contessa said, what about people who have had an NDE about hell or a bad place? I would think that would be scary. Those are rare.
Yeah, and it's what they needed, and it's what they needed to see. And you know what? I'm going to tell you this. From what I know and all the stuff I've done and talking to guides and having the experience, and Laura Lee will probably tell you the same thing. Just how you're creating what you see and do here now, you continue to keep on creating. So if your belief system is that strong, maybe that's what you're going to see. But I'll tell you this, they're not going to leave you there very long.
I have a theory. It's just a theory. I've told you it before, Dave. I've seen a few stories about this, and I believe that there are different levels of dimensions or astral realms, if you will. I do believe that there are lower astral realms. We have talked about it. I'm not saying hell. I don't believe in hell. I'm not saying anybody else can't. I don't believe in it. I know Dave doesn't believe in it. Mm-hmm. But there are lower astral realms.
Yeah.
Okay. You've got energy can be transferred from one place to another. Like I've said many times on this show and my other show, you know, not everybody's running around thinking love and light and kindness and all these things, right? So what if... Because one story I'm thinking about is this one soldier I read, and it was really profound when I read it. And he had a hell experience as a near-death experiencer. But it was a bunch of military guys on leave, and these guys were stuck at the base, four of them. And there was a noose in one of the buildings they'd never seen before. And they thought it would be funny to take a picture of somebody with their noose around the neck. And he was the rookie of the group. And so... they kind of talked him into doing it, but he didn't know
that two of the guys had decided they were going to pull the noose. Long story short, he had no idea that he wasn't even there. He was sitting there. He could tell you everything that was going on. And then one of them said, "Hey, I don't think he's joking." And he had a near-death experience that was a hell-like experience. Now, to me, from the way it sort of sounded, the way he was resuscitated by who was there, that you can be almost dead, but not quite. Mm-hmm. So if you still had a heartbeat, like one or two for every minute, or a breath or half a breath, you've not fully left the body. So what if, never mind the fact, I agree 100% with what you said, Dave, we may really need this experience in this lifetime for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But also, what if you actually, instead of transcending, you sort of got stuck in one of the lower astral realms?
It could, we never know. I mean, I do know this. We are all vibrational. We are, everything is vibration. So wherever you're vibrating is where you're going to be. So that's why people tell me, you know, what if, I don't think, I can tell you this. And I've been told this by my guides, and I know this from my near death. You don't have to be afraid. Nobody has to be afraid of anything. Even, you know, and people always hate to hear, what happens to evil people? I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, do they burn? They're all happy about it. I'm like, being happy about somebody being chastised for something and burning someplace is just as bad probably as what the person did to get there. You know, I mean, we all want to wish something to somebody, but, you know, I think we just all go where we go, and no one will know the absolute truth until you go back, and we'll all remember, and you'll be like, I can't believe I forgot. But
I also think, right, that, yeah, I've been guilty of, we all have, like, there isn't a hot enough place in hell for some of the evil we sometimes see. Yeah, but exactly. The point is, I always say this, and hopefully this will help, we're looking at it with human eyes rather from a soul perspective.
Yeah. Yes. And that's exactly it. And that's okay. There's no deity over there that says we hate you and we're not going to forgive you for what you did. That's only for living people.
Well, a Facebook user, I'm not sure who this is, but it's a good point they've made. They said, I find now after having children, I have a new fear of leaving too soon and not wanting to until I'm very old. Interesting to hear about exit points. And the reason why I find this interesting is because I've often said, and this sounds horrible, but I have to outlive my youngest son because, right, severe disability, and I'm his caregiver. If something happened to him, but then having conversation with my guides, and I don't know if this will give you some peace or anybody else, and again, we don't have all the answers, that he's here for a reason, my son, just like everybody's here. And things are going to play out the way they are meant to play out. And my son will have the experiences that he has if I'm not here one day, right? But mm-hmm. things play out the way they are meant to play.
Yeah.
So having a fear about leaving too soon, and I'm talking about myself, that in a way for myself, it's almost selfish in a way, right? Because again, we worry, right? We worry, like, who's going to look after him? My God, is he going to end up in an awful place? It's all these things. But life will carry on. Life always does. And he will have the experience he is meant to have here when and if I'm not here. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's anything you could add to that, Dave.
Yeah, but no, it's true. I mean, I don't have children, so it's very hard for me because in this lifetime, yeah, I don't
think about your fur babies.
I would say the same thing. I hope I outlive all my animals. I'd rather have to, you know, but you know what? But I also say this too. Everything, like you said, is taken care of the way it's supposed to be taken care of. And we just have to trust that it will be. And there's nothing not to trust. Listen, I mean, the fact that you're here and on this earth and having this life is a miracle in itself. So why not believe that anything else miraculously could happen? So
there's a lineup of souls to come here. I truly believe that my guides
are shaping. Yeah, because not every soul in the world is on this planet.
Oh God, no. And there's no promise that your next lifetime that you're going to be here either. You could be in a different planet. You could be anywhere. So Nicole, you guys are asking great questions. And Michelle, I'm finally getting to your great comment or comment question you asked too. So I didn't forget. So Nicole Thomas Ryan says, if a person unalives themselves, did they go when it wasn't their time? And what I'm going to say is, I don't believe so. And if one really interesting website to take a look at is channelingeric.com, Eric with a K. And Eric did unalive himself. His mother did not believe in an afterlife. She's a doctor. Their family did not believe in an afterlife. And a bunch of things happened without getting into too long of a story that it became very evident that Eric was still very much around them, that his mother had to start looking beyond the belief of nothing exists beyond this lifetime. And there's some fascinating stories. And Eric talks about through mediums with his mom about why he left and when he left and was it an accident? Like, was this unplanned? And it wasn't. It was his planned exit point. This was one of his ways that he could have left the planet. And this is the way that he did. I don't know, Dave, you may add something different, but I believe it's not.
Outside of the channeling Eric thing, I watched a lot of those years ago. There are certain situations that I have been made aware of where they knew at some point, like Laura Lee said, that was going to be a possibility. So let's say that I told in real short, I'll make it short. So let's say when I'm trying, because you're not just coming here in willy nilly and just in winging it. Trust me, everything's happening the way it should be. But if they were to say, like, say they said, oh, Dave, you know, you wanted to learn this and that. There's a chance around your 30s, you know, you wanted to break with addiction, all this. There is a chance that that addiction might overcome you. So that's a risk that you'll have to take or a chance you have to take. And that could happen that way. And I might do something. And that was part of it. Deliberately, it's not always, I don't believe it's always. And I don't believe that anybody who does that is punished in any way, shape, or form. That is, if you ever hear that from somebody or a medium or anything, just walk away, because there is nothing outside this place. People have different reasons for whatever they did. They leave. Nobody suffers from it. The only thing I know of is there, not all, but there's a few of them. If they left early and it was something that they have to deal with, I mean, they really need to deal with this. Otherwise, they're going to be eternal in this certain place. They'll come back and relive a very similar type of life to try to go through it again. That's not a punishment. That's just kind of like, oh, I need a mulligan, man. I need a do-over, you know, so they let them do that. You know, who really knows? I was going to say the one thing I don't like is the take a life and take your own life type of thing. That situation, I have the hardest time with that.
I think from a human perspective, but what I understand when there is a mass unaliving like that is that it's a group of souls that are in agreement.
Planned,
I don't like it either, Dave. I don't see the
part. No, I don't mean that. I mean like plane crashes, the Jim Jones thing, all that. Yeah, they've gotten a mass agreement to do
No, this. I'm even talking about what you're talking about, that one person goes postal and decides that they're going to take
them and then takes themselves. Yeah, I mean, there may be an agreement. We don't know, but it's hard for any of us to really say, because all we can do right now is look at it through our human consciousness. And our human consciousness is different than our soul consciousness.
Absolutely. Kasun, I wanted to answer this. You said Hinduism says you can only go when your karma is spent. I don't know. What I'm going to say, with no disrespect in any way, that and should you choose to believe it and it resonates and it feels right, you go with it. But religious dogma and
Hinduism, Catholicism, Christianity, whatever it is, has various belief systems within it. Nothing wrong with it should you choose to follow it. And if that feels right for you, go with it. Again, you were, I don't think you were here quite at the beginning, but like we said, you don't need us, someone that's a medium or a psychic, to tell you whether something is right or wrong, or if it feels right to you or it resonates, go with it. You have the perfect right in 5-10 years, say it doesn't fit anymore, just like a shoe, like you were mentioning, doesn't fit, get a different shoe. And if it's comfortable, go with it. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
I believe systems about the other side changed after my NDE. I read a lot of, I'm not bashing this person. I read a whole lot of Dolores Cannon. What was her name? Sylvia Brown. Mm-hmm. I read all her books about the afterlife, and I was thinking, oh, it's just a, my experience was absolutely not even close to anything in that book. In fact, it was way better. So I enjoyed it better, because there's even stuff that I read from that person that I said, that I don't want that. I'm already doing that here. I don't want to do that there. I want to escape that. You know, I don't want anything to do with that. But so it's all going to be different. It's all perception too. It really is perception.
Mm-hmm. So finally we get to Michelle's comment. I know you mentioned it earlier, Dave. You guys, this just flies by, and I keep forgetting at the top of the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Thing at the Foot of the Bed on UFO Paranormal and United Public Radio, or just UPRN. I'm one of your hosts, Laura Lee Potvin, and my good friend and amazing co-host David Hansel is to the right of me. And we're so glad you can tune in tonight. We're like I say, David said this at the beginning, you guys, we plan topics, but we go where you guys go. And both my show, I forgot to mention too, was distracted with something streaming or not. Still not, by the way, on Facebook. But they're both very audience participative, because otherwise Dave and I would just be having this intriguing conversation by ourselves. But you guys always add so much more to it. Do you want to read Michelle's comment, Dave? Because you did earlier, and we had so many ones I wanted to, I was hoping we could.
Oh, there we go. Michelle, aren't we our soul? I look at it this way. This is just how, you know what? In all honesty, anybody spiritual listening, anybody who's a medium, Mish, anybody, you know what? All words are interchangeable, and we're all going to call something different and this and that. It's not the biggest deal. I look at it this way. You aren't a soul. Your soul has a body. Your body doesn't have a soul. Your soul has a body, if you look at it that way. We do have another, I look at it this way. Your soul's kind of right here, and we're kind of right here. So remember, if you guys were there, and I think I might've said it last week, Art, on his show, if you're meditating, if you can get right about here, this is like a big sweet spot right here. If you can just lift up to that point, it's hard to explain. We are a soul in a sense. Yes, you're a soul. No one can take your soul from you, because you are your soul. That's why when people go, the devil will take your soul. And do what? How is he going to take it from me? I am a soul. He can have the human body. Here you go. It's yours.
That's what I was just going to say. We are our soul. We are having a human experience right now. Yeah. We are experiencing different levels of emotion. Everything is human in this lifetime where we are right now. Is that going to change you? Are you separate from who you are as a soul? No, exactly what David just said. We are a soul with a body right now. Okay. But we go on forever. But you also, and how I've tried to explain this when I've done readings with people, you know, when we get into the justice, like we talked a little bit about is there not punishment for this or that, or I hate God because God took so-and-so out of my life. God did not take so-and-so out of your life. Right. But we're looking at it with a human perspective versus when we leave this planet, we sort of, if you will, become our whole soul. We've never left it, but we've become this human perspective where we are in this lifetime right now, if that makes any sense. I don't know if
it does. It makes sense. Yeah, I'm not a believer in my mom is Baptist, and my dad, well, they're Baptist and Catholic, but they're not really practicing. But they go to church every Sunday and all this stuff. But my mom, when somebody dies, she'll still go, David, God decided to take Marion from church. I said, Mom, you know, Mom, stop it. I said, God did not take Marion. Marion went home. She went home on her own accord. And Chaz goes, oh, I know that, but they always say God took her back. And I'm like, well, okay, if you believe that God took her. But I go, you guys are making God out to be like a murderer. Like he's just running around grabbing old grannies off the street going, screw her in particular and take her.
Oh, Kathy, I want to comment because so many people are sending prayers for Peter. Kelly says prayers for Peter. Don says sending him source like Kathy for a peaceful passing. And I feel bad because I didn't want to make you feel bad because you said, thank you. I get it. I will change the wording of my prayer for him. You know what, honey?
Oh, you do whatever you need to.
God knows. The angels know. Yeah. The higher self knows. And that's why I said to you,
We were just splitting hairs because we're on a talk show here. Listen, just what Laura Lee just said is absolutely correct. Everybody knows exactly what you mean.
That's why I was going to say, from getting to know you from the show to Kathy, you are nothing but love, and you were coming from a place of pure love. But with people listening, right, we got people listening every country in the world around here. So that's why exactly what Dave said when we're on the show, just that's why I kept saying, I don't want to single you out. That's why I shared when Dave went to grab what he did, that I did pray for that kitty, for the angels to come and take that baby as quickly as possible, or take the pain, because we're coming from a place of love. So is there anything you see, Dave, you want me to highlight? We've got a lot of great comments here.
Oh, my goodness. I know it's 8:40, so we got a minute yet. Well, there's a lot, but they'd be like a whole nother show. Like, twin flame soulmates, how does that work with our souls?
That's my perspective, twin flames, but go ahead.
Yeah, No, that's okay, because that's mine too. I am probably the wrong person to ask.
Looking for it.
And so is Laura Lee. Like, soulmates to me are, for me, soulmates are another soul or another that literally you've been just doing a lot of stuff with all the time. So your soulmate can be your mom, your dad, your dog, your neighbor. You could have met your soul, and you have more than one, by the way. And you might have this really big soulmate that you might have only known for about 3 weeks during this lifetime, because that's all you needed to know from them in order to learn something. Or you can be with your soulmate as a lover. You can do whatever. As far as twin flame goes, I just don't partake in the whole twin flame.
I have told one person that I believe that they may be a twin flame.
Okay. But a twin flame would be awful to have, according to the definition. Why do people want to date their twin flame?
My pet peeve is, and the person that I told this to, I said that everybody thinks it's the most miraculous thing to have a twin flame. I don't think it's an awful thing, because I don't think you would ever, like, it wouldn't exist, but it is difficult. Because when they're not in the same lifetime with you, you constantly feel like something is missing, or if you're not together in a lifetime together. And I explained it this way to the person that I had said, and I told this person, I have never, ever, ever said this to someone, that I think that you might be twin flames. And they asked me the same thing. They said, isn't it supposed to be really awful? And I said, well, what it is, it's everything you are, they are not, and vice versa. You are a true yin yang. So it's passionate and amazing and incredible. It is like heaven on earth, but there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of issues and what have you, because you're complete polar opposites to make a whole.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I've been, you know what, and I've theoretically asked, now if I ask my guides about twin flames, I'm going to be honest to God, they will not say a word. They will not say a word. And that's because
everybody, we hear it lately. Oh, it's my twin flame. And it's like,
really, you know, your twin flame, most likely you're going to divorce that sucker, because it's going to, you know, if you're going to look for someone, look for somebody that brings out the best in you and you bring out the best in them. That to me is way better than
soulmates, and then there's karmic relationships.
And back in the like late 80s and early 90s, they capitalized on soulmates. They used to have
You didn't let me finish with the soulmate. that's where I was going to go with a soulmate. Everybody, and I agree with what you were saying there, Dave, because a soulmate is not strictly romantic. Okay. Yeah, exactly. One of your children could be a soulmate. Your pets could be a soulmate. Your friend could be a soulmate. Okay. It's not strictly romanticism like what Dave was starting to say. Yeah. It's just this beautiful, close, loving relationship that you have together. And it's a beautiful thing, a soulmate.
Right? That's all it is. You know, I try not to, I think I tell people this all the time. Hey, I am looking for my soulmate. Will I ever find them? And I'm like, you know what? If you waste your entire life looking for your soulmate, you're going to waste your entire life looking for your soulmate. Because if you were meant to be with your, I mean, not soulmate, twin flame. Where am I going to find my twin flame? I'm like, you know what? If you were meant to find your twin flame, you don't have to look. They'll show up. That's just how it's going to be. Everybody, you never know when it shows up.
Like, people think it's the ideal. It's the epitome of love and a relationship. And it can be. But it is so rare. And like David, I have to say this, Dave, like if it even exists, I do believe it could exist.
I'm
but
sure
it's rare. So Kathy, I love what she said here. And she said she loves us. And I said, we love you. We love all of you, y'all, Kathy. Here.
You know what else? Look at that. Kathy says, my husband was my soulmate. Peter's my soulmate. My neighbor's my soulmate. You're just having a big old soulmate orgy, aren't you?
So Kasun says, for example, two medium, I think he's saying, I know two mediums who claim they are twin flames. It's like they are one person. If it resonates with you and it fits with you, who are we to argue? Chances of that, pretty rare, but I don't know. Don't know them. It's not up to me to judge.
Christopher James, it's referred to as your kindred soul. A kindred soul I believe in. And I believe we have a lot of kindred souls as well, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank
you for bringing that up, Christopher. I'd rather find my kindred soul than I'd find my twin flame, according to twin flames.
Or Dawn added this just to add to it. My husband is my male reflection. LOL.
Oh, there you go. That's beautiful. You know what? That is a beautiful thing to hear. I want to meet my reflection.
Yeah. Or Michelle says maybe they're just mates with a soul. Well, let's hope so. With a soul. You don't want to be meeting something like that, I guess. Yeah. I think it's amazing someone enjoys spending time with me. Oh, I think she's talking. That was Michelle. She said, I think she's talking. And then, this is interesting. So Diane Brighton said, connection with my family members that passed. I think she's talking about they had telepathy in life, so it was easier to communicate in with their Alzheimer's. She said they knew me, but not others. Interesting.
That's very interesting. And I think there's something to that. I think if... husband and wife who have Alzheimer's can still communicate telepathically. Mm-hmm.
Dawn at Slade over there. She says half past midnight here in Cornwall in the UK. And I know for Kasun, it's got to be 3 or 4 in the morning, maybe a little later now. Somebody says I survived a twin flame. So hard to say, right? It's not up to me to judge, but like I say, it's a pet peeve, like orbs. And I'm not saying orbs don't exist, and I'm not saying twin flames don't exist. But when I hear people, and you will hear it all the time, so-and-so is my twin flame, or are they my twin flame? And what people don't realize is, do we need to slap a label on it? Are they good to you?
I was just going to say, it's just like,
are they
mom,
good to you?
Dad, boy, girl, brother, sister, friend, lover. Yeah.
No, but what I was going to say, are they good to you? Do they love you? Do they respect you? Do they listen? Not just hear you, listen and give you the space and the time to be who you were meant to be. Like, those are the things I think are important. And as human beings, I think we love to label things. Right? Look what I got, a shiny twin flame here. You don't have it. Mine is the epitome of all relationships. And people do that. But do we really need to? Yeah. If people are good to you And they, like I said, they fulfill you. They make you happy. Nobody can make you happy. But when you spend time with them and they love you and you love them, does it matter what we call them? Right?
Exactly. It doesn't matter what you call them. Are orbs aliens? I mean, they could have been at one point.
That's like asking, does a raindrop come from a lake?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but...
Yes. You know what? Everything that exists, every being that exists, every plant, every animal, every chair, every carpet fiber, everything comes from the exact same source. Some people call that God. Some people just call it source. We're all come from the same ocean, like you said. You know, we're all the same. Yeah. We're all just different drops in different places. Some drops fall on the ground. Some drops fall on the table. Some drops fall on Earth. Some drops fall on Venus. Who knows?
Well, that's kind of you. Christopher James says, I believe you, Laura Lee, and David are soulmates, especially with this podcast of yours. Well, thank you.
I will ever say, because people like Laura Lee and some of my other friends, I'm like, of course we probably said, yeah, we're going to run into each other at some point because we're going to need that support system. So,
yeah. But I think that that's important, right? Like, and we do that. And I think, I don't mean to keep pushing that Tuesday night discussion, but it was so interesting. And it was so cool to hear somebody bring this up, because I say this all the time, but I didn't say anything. And they said, as human beings, right, we need names, we need labels, we need all these things. But on the other side, we don't.
My guides told me that one time, and I said, why do we do all this? And he said, why do you human beings need names and labels? I'm like, I know, but we do.
The other side, you really understand that there is no separateness. Grain of sand is me, and I am the grain of sand. Like, there's no separateness. You know each other by the energy and how things feel. So, like, as our guides, I believe that they agree that, so I'm going to call you Mocha Frappuccino, but they don't care what you call them. That's why I said Mocha Frappuccino, but you start to recognize what they feel like, okay? You can sense it. And they know that every time you call Mocha Frappuccino, you're talking about them, right?
Yep, exactly. Exactly. I got a quick read, Mishes, before we sign off.
Okay.
Every molecule has been around the earth forever. When we drink, breathe, like Cleopatra has drank and breathed. That is true. But then here's something else I'm going to throw in here before we go is all those people are still existing because we all exist at the same time.
I love it. Now you're going to really, really warp. Yeah. So you guys, if you're enjoying what you're seeing, stay tuned, because the second night of the Outer Realm is coming up with the incredible Michelle DeRoche and Amelia Pisano. They always have great guests and stuff. Dave, you want to tell them where to find you? Jackie Lane just said, we are Stardust.
Oh, that's true. Yes, we're all made of stars, and the stars are made of source, and we're all made of everything. If you would like to know more about me, get a hold of me, book a reading, anything fun like that, you can go to my website, theywhispertome.com. It's the only place to book a reading with me, as I never, ever, ever, neither does Laura Lee, DM, direct message you and offer you readings. Those are imposters. You can find me on TikTok and Instagram at Medium David Hansel, spelt just like that, at Medium David Hansel. You can find me on YouTube and Facebook under The Spirit Experience. And we also have the thing at the foot of the bed Facebook group. And once we get 200 people in there, Laura Lee and I will do some card pulls and do some lives in that group as well. So please look for us there. Laura Lee, back to you.
And don't forget, you guys, I posted in the future part of the group on Facebook. There's the poll there to vote on what you guys want us to call you. And maybe you guys have a suggestion that you want to add. You can add to the poll. I'll probably give it a week or two. So you guys pop in there, vote, and tell all your friends and family and people like that. Because you know what? Like Dave said, once we get to 200, you guys, it's fun. If you've ever done readings with us on TikTok, I haven't been able to do it for a while, but it's fun. It goes fast. It goes quick. And Dave and I love working together like that. So
I do about an hour and a half, three times a week on there. And you know what? And also tell your twin flames and soulmates to watch us too.
then Kelly says, boom, mic drop. So if you ever want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me on facebook.com/angelrocker. Better yet, fastest, quickest, easy way to get a hold of me is just get a hold of me on Messenger under Laura Lee Potvin. I am on every social media platform you can practically think of. If it's not under Laura Lee Potvin, it's under the Angel Rock. Also, I have two groups on Facebook, Paranormal University for all things paranormal and the Angel Rocker Tribe for more things spiritual. Also, I forgot to let you know. So what I do is I do readings, I do Akashic Records, I do Crystal Reiki, energy healing, I do mentoring, I do teaching, all that kind of stuff. So you can get a hold of me on there. Don't forget to check out Lake Superior Paracon. That would be so cool if some of y'all came up here to Thunder Bay and I ran into you at the Paracon. So I will be speaking at it. And Carrie Lynn Shellhorn, who has her spirit switchboard tomorrow from 6 to 8 p.m., is going to be up here speaking, doing readings from spirit with spirits and sweets. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's October 2024. I think I remembered everything. So we'll see. Oh, I know what I want to tell you. On Monday night, don't forget the Angel Rock from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You guys asked for it. They were here January 1st that week. I think it was the Monday around New Year's. It's Debbie A. Anderson and Leanne Clark, who are very good friends of mine. We had a great time. They're coming back tomorrow on Monday night with us. And for all of you who celebrate Easter, happy Easter. Otherwise, you'll get to hang on Easter Monday with the three amigas, as we're calling ourselves. So that'll be 6 to 8 p.m. Otherwise, David and I are going to be back next Thursday. Same time, same space. Right, Dave?
That's right. You guys stay spooky.
Stay spooky.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's kind of try to sign off. 1, 2, 3. What's at the foot of your bed?
Oh, we're way off.
Yeah, we're way off. All right. You guys, go ahead and look at the foot of your bed tonight. Shake their hand. Say hey. Come on in. About the afterlife.
We love y'all. We'll see you next week. You guys have a good one. Okay. Stay tuned for Michelle and Amelia.